Take your Bible, please, and go back to Psalm 101 and verse 2, where it says, I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. Oh, when thou art come unto me, I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. Look at verse 3 again. I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I will hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. I'll look at verse 4, if you will. The Bible says, a froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him, watch it, that hath a high look and a proud heart will I not suffer. For 20 years, our family never knew what it was like to have a television in the house. All the years that our children were very young, and all the way up through 20 years, we never even owned a television at all. And I can tell you, as my children were young and coming up, one of the best decisions we ever made as a young parent of young kids was to do that. Because we were able to spend time with them. We were able to play with them. We were able to develop their character. We were able to develop their personality. And we were not allowing others to intrude in developing those things in their life. The first 6 years, if I may remind you, is the most important years of child training that you have. And you have to make sure that you do it right all the way. But those first 6 years are very imperative that you do it right all the way through those years. Now, we do allow our children to watch things like Leave It to Beaver and things of that nature. But things that are old, if you will, things that will not jeopardize some of the things that we're trying to do while child training still at their age. Let me give you some things tonight to think about. Television viewing statistics. Let me give you just a couple, if I may, some television viewing statistics. 1/5 of the children under the age of 2 have a television in their bedroom. 1/5. 3 to 4% of children ages 3 to 4 have a television in their room. TVs are linked to childhood obesity, inactivity, low scores in reading, and also in math tests. Extensive research says this, that a child viewing a lot of television before the age of 3 will develop the wrong attributes in their life and also is a greater risk of having attention deficit. The average child will begin watching television and videos at the age of 9 months. 99% of all American households own a television. The average household in America owns 2 1/4 televisions in their home. 2 1/4. Where do you get the 1/4? That's a short one. 66% of American homes have 3 or more televisions in their homes. Hours watched per day is this. This is the average hours watched per day, 6 hours and 47 minutes. 66% of Americans watch television while eating dinner. By the way, that's a shame, isn't it? It used to be people would sit down and they'd enjoy fellowship together, talking together, spending time together, communicating together. But now, years ago, they came out with a thing called TV dinners. Wonder why they did that. But they spend that amount of time. All right. There's a total number of hours of television watched by Americans annually, listen to this, 250 billion hours of television watched by Americans on an annual basis. 6 million videos are rented a day, daily. 6 million videos rented daily. 3 million videos are checked out of the libraries daily. That's 3 million. 49% of Americans say they have watched too much television, but they do not have the character to stop. Think about this. Television viewing statistics regarding children. The average parent spends, this is sad, the average parent spends 3.5 minutes a week in conversing heart to heart with their children. You hear that? The average parent spends 3.5 minutes per week conversing heart to heart with their children. The average child spends 1,680 minutes watching television a week. Okay, so you got a parent that spends 3.5 minutes a week conversing with their children heart to heart, and then you have the average child that spends 1,680 minutes a week watching television. I wonder who's training them. I wonder who is indoctrinating them. I wonder who has the greater pull on their hearts. Today, most daycare centers and primary centers use a television partly in being able to keep the attention of the children while they're in those care facilities. 70% of daycares that are operating today use television to help them control the children. 73% of the parents would like to limit the amount of time that the children watch television. 54% of 4 to 6 year olds said that they would rather watch television than to spend time with their dads. Did you get it? 54% when having a choice between spending time with their dad and watching television would rather watch television. The average youth spends 900 hours a year in school, while the number of hours the youth spends watching television is 1,500 hours. So they're getting more education from the television than they are even from school. Television viewing statistics regarding violence. Listen to this. This is shocking. 8,000 murders a child sees by the time they finish elementary school. Now we're talking about the average child that watches television. 200,000 violent acts are seen by the time the child reaches the age of 18. 79% of Americans believe that a person viewing violence will also practice violence. By the way, what you put in will come out. Is that right? Television viewing and commercials. Think about this, if you will. 20,000 are seen on the average year of a child, 20,000 commercials are seen. 2 million are seen by the average viewer by the time they reach the age of 65. Can you imagine that? No wonder people get they go out and they want to buy this, they want to buy this, they want to buy this, and they're not satisfied with this, they're not satisfied with this, they got to have this new, got to have this new, go over here, got to hit that vacation spot over there, simply because what's happening now, you are being solicited by the commercial industry, and all these commercials are trying to get you and to bring you to a point where they can actually get your money. 92% of the parents feel like their children watching commercials gives them an appetite to want things, listen to this, that they cannot afford. So parents are saying, boy, my children are watching all this stuff, and this stuff is giving them appetites to want things that I can't afford to buy. But yet they do not turn it off. The top 100 advertisers last year, 2011, the top 100 advertisers last year spent $25 billion in advertisements last year. Now, they're spending a lot of money. Why are they spending a lot of money? They're spending a lot of money to whet your appetite. Advertising whets appetites. Okay? All right? And so they know what they're doing. Television viewing in general statistics, think about this. 30% is on television. 30% that's on television is advertising, selling you something. 30%. So 30% that you view on television, okay, you're viewing something, and all of a sudden they go to a television commercial break. Well, what are they doing? They're selling you something. And then are you watching a ball game? And they go to a commercial television break. What are they doing? They're selling you something. Okay? By the way, if you put something in somebody's mind long enough, repeatedly, they're going to think that they need it. They're going to think they need to buy it. They need to think that they don't need to buy it, but they think, boy, I tell you what, I need that in my life, simply because they view it over and over again. 53.8% of the stories told on television are about crime, disaster, and war. No wonder we're so happy. No wonder we're so full of joy. No wonder, I'll tell you what, one of the worst things you could ever do in your life is watch the news before you go to bed. That's one of the worst things you could ever do in your life. One of the worst things you ever do in your life is watch the news when you get up in the morning to set your mood. Don't do that. May I give you a principle? Let me help you something. You've lost your joy. Can I tell you something that the scriptures teach about getting back your joy? Can I help you a little bit? When Saul became depressed, he called one in by the name of David. David came in and David played the harp. Is that right? It was a melodious instrument. All right. And so he came in and he played the harp. When he played the harp, what happened? It changed the very mood of Saul. Now, you can't tell me that the stuff that you take in doesn't change your mood. It changes your mood. You know, a person, I believe this with all my heart, a person that has a steady diet of rock music, a person that has a steady diet of pop music, a person has a steady diet of looking at wrong things on the television, on a DVD, on some type of electronical machine will affect you. What you put in will control you. When you get depressed, can I encourage you, listen, go in there and get the Heavenly Harmonies CD. Get the CD that Mrs. Hannah Yao just put out. Go in there and buy Jared Zapata CD. Go in there and buy Brother Palmore CDs. Go in there and buy Brother Allen CDs. By the way, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about this man right here. Let me tell you something about him. Did you know I listen to Mrs. Hannah Yao's CD? And all of a sudden, there comes a male voice on the CD. And I thought, boy, who's that? And she said, that's my daddy. He sings on her CD. Now, if that be true, you ought to pay $50 for it. But now, so what do? You put music in. Whenever you have a depressing day, I'm telling you the truth. I practiced it in my life for many, many years. I still do it today. If ever I have a day that things don't look like it's going to make me smile, then I will put in, I'll put in the Heavenly Harmonies. I'll put in another CD that will help me. It sets your mood. It sets your mind in the right direction. I'm telling you, I know what I'm talking about. By the way, if you don't believe me, you try it. You try it, and it will work every single time. All right? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that 7/10 of the percent of the public, if you would please, service announcements that's given is only 7/10 of a percent. 7/10 of a percent is that which is devoted to public service announcements. That's it. Now, public service announcement, what is that? A grand mal reached 101 today. Yay. It's a public service announcement. There's going to be a horse down at this park over here this coming Saturday afternoon, and you're welcome to ride it for free. It's not something that is, number one, controversial. It's not something, if you will, that is war and a crime and disaster and stuff like that. No, but it's something that gives you information is what it is. All right, 59% of Americans can name who the Three Stooges are. 59%, all right, let's take a test. No. 59% of Americans can name who the Three Stooges are, while only 17% can name three of the justices of the Supreme Court. Now, how sad is that? You know, the Three Stooges, in comparison to the justices, let me tell you, the justices determine if abortion is legal. If you can't name them, that means you're not praying for them. The justices determine if drugs are legal. The justices determine if the Bible should be allowed back in the public school. Yet, 59% can name the Three Stooges, and only 17% can name any three of the justices that sit in the Supreme Court. By the way, let me ask you something. Are you controlling your remote, or is your remote controlling you? Who's in control? Who's pressing your button? Are you pressing the button? Do you get mad when your child walks in front of the set and you're watching? You get mad? Do you get mad when all of a sudden somebody's speaking and you got something on and somebody's speaking and you have something on and it irritates you because you can't hear what they're saying on the television set? Okay, now I'm meddling. Statement number six, television viewing and scriptural principles. Let me give you a couple, if I may. Television viewing and scriptural principles. Now, I will say this. For those of you that's having a hard time reading your Bible, you ought to limit, you ought to extinguish, you ought to get away from so much television viewing. If you're watching television, you're not viewing your, if you're viewing your television, but you're not viewing your Bible, you're viewing the wrong thing. What you put in is going to come out. So let me ask you a question. When's the last time you read your Bible? Let me ask you a question. When's the last time that you prayed? When's the last time you prayed? By the way, reading your Bible and praying will do more to correct and help you than the television viewing that you watch. You know, some people, here's what they do. They watch too much news, they get depressed, but they don't read enough of the good news. And the Bible is what would change us. Okay, being led away by the error of the wicked, the Bible talks about that we can fall from our own steadfastness. Look at it, if you will, over in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. I said I want to give you some scriptural principles. Scriptural principles. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 17. The Bible says, "Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things before." Now, by the way, listen to me. We know what's right and wrong. We do. We know what's right and wrong. We know what is holy and what is unholy. We know what will affect us in the right way and provoke us to do right. And we know what will affect us in the wrong way and provoke us to do wrong. We know it already. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17, the Bible says, "You therefore," it says, "beloved, seeing that you know these things," it says, "before, beware lest ye also, being led away with error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness." Now, what is the error of the wicked? I'm telling you that what we allow ourselves to be consumed by indoctrinates us. Now, if you have enough wrong indoctrination, you will be led to believe it and go astray. You'll lose your steadfastness. Think about some things, if you will, that causes a person, as we study some scriptural principles, some things that has caused a person to be led away. All right, statement number one, think about this. Hollywood has chosen to use crime as entertainment. They choose to use crime as entertainment. Always somebody getting killed. Always somebody getting kidnapped. Always somebody that's being hurt physically in some fashion or another. And they use crime as a means of entertainment. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31, the Bible says, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." All right? So is stealing, ask yourself a question, is stealing good or is it bad? All right, ask yourself a question. Are drugs good or bad? Ask yourself a question. Is immorality good or bad? All right, so then what is entertaining you? Is the bad entertaining you or is the good entertaining you? My daddy, when I was coming up, I got saved when I was 18 years of age. And the Holy Ghost of God came to hold residence in my life. And my daddy would watch bad things. Bad things. He'd rent things. He'd watch bad things. And I would walk through the room, and I tell you the truth. I'm not stretching this. I'm not trying to make myself look different than what I was. But I'd walk through the room and see what Dad was watching, and I would just keep on walking because that was a choice. If you want to stay pure, it's a choice. If you want to have good character, it's a choice. If you want to help people, it's a choice. And you have to learn to make the right choices in your life. It's easy to make the wrong choices. All dead fish float downstream. But I'm telling you, in our day of uncertainty, in our day of evilness, in our day of wickedness, it takes somebody with godly character to go against the stream. Hollywood is corrupting the women in our society. Listen to this, Titus chapter 2 and verse 5. The Bible says to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. All right? So do you think that that describes the type of woman that you see coming from Hollywood? Is she somebody that is discreet? Is she somebody that's chaste? Is she somebody that's a keeper at home? Is she somebody that's good? Is she somebody that's obedient to her own husband? Is she somebody that the word of God is not blasphemed by her lifestyle? All right? By the way, I dare you today in our society to find a woman like that on television. I don't think you'll find it. Now, not long ago, perhaps you could. Maybe you could turn on something like that, Leave It to Beaver. Maybe you could turn on something like that, Father Knows Best. Maybe you could turn on something like that, Andy Griffith Show, or something like that, that you didn't have cursing in it, and you didn't have people that were standing up and violently doing wrong. But it's going to be hard-pressed for you today to find something that even comes close to having morality, much less godliness today. Much less, I didn't say they were godly, by the way. I said, you're going to be hard-pressed today to find yourself some type of viewing on a television screen or something being piped in through cable or through a satellite dish or through your internet that is godly and depicts something, at least something that's moral. You're going to be hard-pressed. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, here's what the Bible says. But I would have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Statement number 3, I believe that Hollywood today bashes men in their leadership. Bashes them. You know what it wants to do? It wants to turn the women into men, and it wants to turn the men into women. I'm telling you. Listen to your Bible. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 33. The Bible says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself. And the wife see, now watch what it says, that she reverence her husband. Now what's that mean to reverence? That means this. That means that you don't make him look ignorant in public. You reverence him. Don't disagree with him in public. You reverence him. You respect him in public. That means this. That means that when you show reverence, by the way, when you show reverence to your husband, you're also showing your children to reverence him. If you don't respect your husband, how in the world you expect your children to respect your husband? So that reverence is very important. Television is destroying marriages. Listen to it, Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. The Bible says, listen to it, it says, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Look at verse 28. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery, it says, with her already in his heart. So what holds your attention to the television screen? Is it some lewd woman walking across? Is that what holds your attention? What holds your attention to the television screen? What are you looking at? What are you lusting after on that television set? I'm saying that television viewing is hurting you financially. Okay, watch. You know, we have, I'm sure, at one time or another, people in churches like ours that had Christian schools like we have, that have trouble paying their academy bills because they're paying their cable bills. Now, wait a minute. What is that? That is wrong priority. People, it's amazing to me. It really is amazing to me that even when I travel to different countries, I can go out in the woods somewhere. And you've seen this, haven't you? You've traveled with me across seas, and some of you others have. You can go out in the woods somewhere, and you can find a hut, and they'll have a little stick of energy coming in through an electrical cord, and they have a television in the middle of a hut covered up over top so that when it rains, that precious thing is the only thing that doesn't get wet. In the middle of nowhere. Now, why do they do that? They do that because there's something there that is controlling their attention. Did you know that there are families that have children that have dental needs, but they will not take care of their children's dental needs because they're always going and they're buying DVDs? And so the kids are going without their teeth being fixed because dad doesn't have enough character to stay away from the DVD machine. Well, it's quiet. I better go home tonight. Television will waste your time. Television will waste your time. People do not have enough time to do their laundry, but they got enough time to watch a two-hour television show. Hello? Waste your time. Don't have enough time to clean the house, but they got time to watch the television show. The Bible says in Psalm 90 and verse 12, the Bible says, I tell you, if it's this quiet tonight, and I'm just speaking about television, what would happen if I really preached on sin? Good night. You know, all right, come on, all you men stand up, would you? All the men, all the young men stand up. Just stand up. When I count three, would you do me a favor tonight? Give me a good shout of an amen to encourage my heart. Would you do that? I mean a good old-fashioned Baptist shout of an amen to encourage my heart, because I need your encouragement right now. You ready? One, two, three. Well, that's pretty good for a Methodist church. You ready? Here we go. One, two, three. Thank you. Sit down, if you will. All right. Now, here's what the Bible says. The Bible, you gave me energy for about a few minutes. Over in Psalm 90 and verse 12, the Bible says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." It says to number our days. Now, listen to me. When young people are spending 1,500 hours a year watching television, they're not numbering their days. Now, come on. Young person has to be fussed at by dad to go out and mow the lawn because they're watching a stupid television program. You are not numbering your days. When mama has to fuss at you because she wants you to help her clean the house and you're engulfed in some television program, I'm telling you, you're not numbering your days. Now, I'm not mad at anybody, but I'm saying it's a waste of time. Here's what we do. We sit around and we watch other people live their lives instead of us living our lives. You watch other people sit on the floor and play with their kids on some stupid television show. You watch them sit on the floor and they play with their kids playing a game. And yet, when your child comes and says, "Dad, would you sit on the floor and play with me?" You don't have time. Isn't it funny? A guy get on there and he'll watch everybody go out and go fishing. He'll watch a fishing show. He'll get on there and watch a fishing show. Ridiculous. And his boy said, "Daddy, will you ever take me fishing?" "Oh, no, son. You know I'm too busy for that." But you just watch somebody else live their life taking their boy fishing. What's your boy think about you? Look, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we need to understand that God wants us to number our days. Statement number 7. We are programming our children's minds to sin. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 6. I'm almost done. You'll make it through. The Bible says, "These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Now listen to what it says in verse 7, Deuteronomy 6. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in the house, thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up." Now, what should we talk about? It says his words. His words. You know, it's funny how the average child will know the time and the channel that SpongeBob comes on, but they can't tell you where a Bible reference is. That's amazing. It's amazing when a person knows more about a television show and the channel and the time that it comes on, but yet they can't quote you the books of the Bible. You ask them to quote you a verse that they memorized, they have no idea. Now, I'm saying that it is ruining our children. Statement number 8, Hollywood has changed our appetites. Hey, get a load of this verse. You're going to like this verse. I hope you like something tonight. Psalm 37 and verse 4. Here's what it says. Delight thyself in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Right, let me show you something. As you learn to delight yourself in serving God, let me help you. He will change the desires of your hearts. He will. Delight thyself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of thy heart. All right? So I'm serving God. Here's what God does. God changes my heart. Now that I'm serving God, I delight in it. Have you ever seen somebody that doesn't delight in serving God? Let me tell you why they're not delighting in serving God. It's because their delighter has been taken away or changed. If Hollywood is going to change your desires, it will change your heart. It will change your heart. What you put in will eventually come out. Whatever you're delighting in will change your wanter. Wanter. Your wanter. Not your water. Your wanter. All right? So whatever you're spending time delighting. Okay, watch this, watch this, watch this. Anybody at any time in this community or a close community can drive here to our church, Parkside Baptist Church, and they can walk in looking for a blessing. Now stay with me. Looking for a blessing. And because they come with that intent, when they come in, all they see is blessing. Because they came wanting to delight in it, and then they found, they came desiring it, and then they found the delight of their heart. They found the desires of their heart. And so they came with the intent, okay, anybody from any community can come to this church and say, I'm going to find something I disagree with. Well, let me help you, beloved. If you're honest tonight and you look in the mirror, you're going to find something you disagree with. You will find someone that you disagree with, and it's the person that's looking back at you in the mirror. You didn't marry a perfect woman, and she dead sure didn't marry a perfect man. And you don't have any perfect kids. And if you think that you are in a perfect church, you're going to ruin it by the very fact that you joined it. Hello? I'm going to have ladies stand up in a minute and say amen. Hollywood will program your appetites. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. The Bible says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. So Hollywood is constantly telling us, think about this, telling us that we have to have it in order to be successful. And it's telling us what we have to have. You got to have this. You got to be of this status in society in order to be successful. Who said? You have to live in this type of neighborhood in society in order to be successful. Who said? Who are you comparing yourself to? See, over in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 8, the Bible says, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food. It says, listen to what it says, convenient to me. All right? And so what am I supposed to do? Well, Paul said this, that he found himself, or he listened to me, that he found himself, it says, content with whatsoever state that he found himself in. Now, that state is not the state that you live in. That state is your state of being. So he said, whatever state of being I find myself in, I'm not going to complain. I'm going to be content. Well, it would be good for you to be content with your wife and content with your husband and content with your Sunday school teacher and content with your youth director and content with your bus captain and content with your friend, and content with your preacher, and content with your children. It would do you good to be content. Television teaches us worldliness to the extreme, to the extreme, to the extreme. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5 says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So it teaches worldliness to the extreme. Love not the world. Not supposed to love the world. By the way, the world don't love you. Why are you trying to love it? I preached on Sunday night what the world does. The Bible says the world hates you. Why would you want to turn around and love something or somebody that hates you? Doesn't make any sense. All right? Now watch this, if you will. 66% of the people watch television while they eat. While they eat. No communication in the home. Children allow the television to be able to show them that all sorts of different lifestyles and relationships are right when they're wrong, according to the Bible. All right, I've got to hurry. Statement number 12. Television has affected your health. Couch. Potato. Turn the thing off and go for a walk. I'm not preaching to the bleachers. I'm preaching to me. I don't even watch the thing. But exercise. Exercise. Okay? Learn to exercise. Learn to go and do something. Okay? And, all right. And so you think about the things it teaches. All right, statement 13. Television films are filled with evil. Now, let me give you, I'm going to read a couple more verses. I'm going to pray, and we're going to go home, we're going to go home. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 23. The Bible, watch TV. Who said that? Who said that? And, oh boy, what a wasted Bible study tonight. But if thine eye be evil, it says thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, the Bible says, how great is that darkness? All right, what's it teaching here? It's teaching about the evil eye. Now, let me say something. When you do something wrong against scriptural truth, it's called a sin. It's called a sin. All right, now wait a minute. When you teach somebody else to do that wrong, it's called evil. It's called evil. It's one thing for you to do sin. It's another thing to teach somebody else to do your sin. Now you've become an evil person. All right? Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 12. The Bible says, apply thine heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. So first off, it talks about the eye. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 23. In Proverbs chapter 23, verse 12, it talks about that which is the ears. All right? So we need to learn to protect the eyes and the ears. Okay. All right. Here we go. Everything you say, you are training the character in your children. Everything you say. They're going to remember it one day. I promise you, they're going to remember it one day. And they're going to come back and they're going to say, you're going to say, where'd you learn that? Well, you and Mama did it. Everything that you allow them to have before them, come on. We'll be riding down the road and my daughter will say to us, right? Don't look over there. My daughter, don't look over there. Well, what do we do? What? No. Television films are filled with evil. Two more statements. Television helps young people to follow the wrong role models in their lives. They follow the wrong role models. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. The Bible says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. You know what it does? Here's what it does. It puts, all right, ready? Why do you comb your hair the way you comb your hair? Joseph is pulling down his hair like, I've got you shocked. I didn't comb it. Why do you dress the way you dress? Brother Boku says, my wife picked it out for me. Why do you drive the car you drive? Where'd you see that house you bought? Hello? You know, most people do not think on their own. Most people think because somebody else had to think for them. Did you know that? Let me give you an example. I had a guy one time got burnt out on my preacher, Brother Williams. Brother Williams, great man of God. And this guy, Bible college graduate, knew his Bible. His kids were in my youth department. And he came up to my office, and he started bad-mouthing my preacher. I stood up. Here's what I said. There's two ways to leave this office. You got a choice, but you're leaving now. You can go out the door with integrity. We were on the second floor. Or I said, I'm throwing you out the window in disgrace. You got a choice. You choose it. My Bible says, touch not God's anointed. And my pastor is my preacher. And over my dead body, are you going to say anything negative about my preacher? He felt divinely led to walk out the door. I am so glad, because he was bigger than I was. Role models. Be careful. Yeah, by the way, what type of role model do you have? What type of posters are in your children's room? What type of faces are on the outside of the CDs they listen to? What type of groups? Come on. Who are their heroes? Should be missionaries. You know what we got this coming week? You ready for this? We have got Dr. Larry May coming, a hero of the faith. Man, you get him to sign your Bible, you love him, you stand in line just to stand beside him. Hello? And we got Dr. Jeff Owens. Hello? Hero of the faith. Alan Domley, Bob Gray, Dan Carr. Hello? You got preacher premier people that's coming. Hello? When I first became pastor here, we had a church member in this church, by the way, still here, came to my office and said, let me tell you some things that I disagree with about Larry May. My office, are you listening to me? I stood up, I walked around the desk, I shook his hand, and I said, have a nice day. He said, well, don't you want to hear? I said, absolutely not. Are you crazy? God brings the same type of chastisement on the gossiper as he does on the listener. And if you think I'm going to be a part of that, no way. Hello? What type of role models do you have? Number 15, television is addictive. It's addictive. The last verse. Then we'll go home and be happy in Jesus. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. The Bible says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or whether of obedience unto righteousness. All right? And so here's what he said. He's saying that whoever we yield ourselves to, whatever we yield ourselves to, if we're not careful, we become addicted to it. Now, I have a challenge for you. I am going to give you something tonight. Ushers, would you help me, please? I have a little card tonight. And our young people, now, Brother Dowdy, Brother Moore, did a great job on a week without and challenging you to go a week without. My children even wrote a song about going a week without. And they were naming things that they don't even do during the week without, but had fun making it. May I say this? I want ushers, would you pass these out, men, please? I want to challenge you tonight for 2 weeks simply not to turn on the television or to watch a movie. Stay away from it for 2 weeks. I wanted to go three. I thought about going a month. Then I had a crazy, fleeting thought about going a year. But then I thought the next Wednesday night Bible study, nobody would come. So ushers, if you'll pass these out, please. Now, you're not going to sign them and turn them into me. I want you to sign them. And I want you children, teenagers, to sign them. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to keep it. I want you to go home and put it, tape it up over your television set. Or tape it somewhere where you can see it in high visual contact. He says this, guard your eye gate. I commit myself to abstain from watching television or movies through Wednesday, August the 1st, 2012. By the way, take the challenge. Let me tell you what it'll do. It will make your walk with God better if you substitute it with reading your Bible. I'm going to tell you what to do. Let me tell you what to do. It will help you to be a better mama and a better daddy. It will help you be a better brother and a better sister. By the way, after you do it for 2 weeks, you might just decide that life is good without it. Hello? I don't be afraid of that. All right? But just decide. And now, I'm not asking you to turn to me. I don't want you to be accountable to me. I want you to be accountable to the Lord. I don't want you turning to me. I'm not interested in what you do between you and the Lord in this fashion. Here I am interested in this, is that you take the challenge and try to do it. I am interested in that, that you take the challenge and you try and do it. If you want to say, I double dog dare you, I double dog dare you. If you want to say, I spiritually challenge you, I spiritually challenge you. If you want to say, I am putting it before you, to see if you can do it. However you want to look at it, I would tell you this. It will help you with your marriage. It will help you with your child rearing. And it will help you with your walk with God if you allow it to. I promise you it will. I promise. It'll give you a better spirit. All right? Now, you take that and you consider it and do it. And then you'll be better off for it.